and still runs a strategic management company, which all sounds impressive and pretty full on, but she also finds time to be a highly commercially successful and award-winning historical novelist. You may know her for A Greater World, Kurinji Flowers, Letters from a Patchwork Quilt. Her latest is The Green Ribbons. She's Kidbury's very own Claire Flynn. Afternoon, Claire.
Hello, Bill. And nice to talk to you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Not a bit of it. I don't know how much you feel you can give away about the storyline of your latest novel, but whet our appetites. Tell us what you can.
Okay, well, it's set in 1900, and it's set in mainly in what I base very heavily on the village of Kintbury, but I called Nettlestock in the book, to protect the innocent and also to give me a little bit of flexibility to add things and take them away. It's about, the main character is a young woman of 18 called Hepzibah Wildman, who loses her parents in a tragic tram accident. And she's left all alone and penniless and has to leave the only place she's ever really known, which is her Oxford College, where her father was dean, and go out into the big wide world and earn her living as a governess. Unfortunately, her employer, Sir Richard Egdon, the country squire based in my fictitious village of Nettlestock, a.k.a. Kintbury, has designs upon Hepzibah and is a bit of a predatory employer. And she, on the other hand, is drawn to his son, the handsome Thomas Egdon.
Oh, my word. Dot, dot, dot.
Yes. But basically, it's all about the extraordinary lengths a woman will go to in order to try to save her marriage.
Which is a universal theme, both in terms of geography and time, I suppose, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But perhaps not everybody would do what she did.
All right. Well, now you've really...
But that's just to whet your appetite.
You've really whet our appetite. You've previously set novels in the Blue Mountains of Australia in the 1920s,
yes,
and colonial,
yes,
India in the, yes, 1930s and 40s. This being so much closer to home, did that mean less research was required? Or because it's such a long time ago, was it a similar process?
Well, all of my books are historical, and I would say that wherever they are, it requires a lot of research. Mm. Not just about the place, but also I try to ensure that all the small details are historically accurate. Obviously, the story is completely invented, but I like to make sure that it doesn't contain anachronisms and that people speak in the correct way. And interestingly, the first book, which is set in the Blue Mountains of Australia, I was actually writing in Kintbury, and it was almost the end of my career as a writer. Ooh. Because I lived in a cottage in the village, and I was away just a couple of days before Christmas, and the place was burgled, and they stole the two,
yes,
laptops that had my book upon it.
I was going to come on to that a bit later. What on earth is that like? How do you pick up from
terrible.
That? Yeah.
It was absolutely terrible, because I had about 80,000 words there, almost finished, and I felt completely... it was awful. It was worse than losing all the physical things that were stolen.
Oh, I'm sure it was, yeah.
But I left it for a couple of months to get over my grief, and then I sat down and I started all over again and wrote it from scratch. And I think the burglar did me a good turn.
Do you really?
I think it came out much, much better the second time round.
But novelists do first and second and sometimes third,
yes,
drops anyway, don't they?
Yes, but you usually have the first one
to refer
you
to.
To refer to. So, yeah, so that was a bit of a baptism by fire, but it didn't put me off. And, yes, I think place is really, really important to me. The location in my books is almost another character.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be exotic. I mean, what appealed to me about setting this one in Kintbury, the idea for it actually came to me when I was down in Dorset. But I just thought this idea would work really well in a village just like Kintbury, because of at that time in the 1900s, it was very much going through a period of quite dramatic change, because, you know, Kintbury had benefited from having the railway, it had benefited from the Kennet and Avon Canal, and of course earlier on in the early 19th century it had been extremely busy and prosperous. There was also a silk mill and a whiting mill. Mm. And then with the whole Industrial Revolution, so many of the people who had always lived there and earned their living in agriculture were displaced and moved up to the north.
So there was a north-south divide in those days, and it was the opposite way around.
Yes, interesting, because all the big growth was happening in those towns. And in fact, in my third book, Letters from a Patchwork Quilt, a lot of that is set in Middlesbrough, which turned from being a tiny little hamlet into being the fastest growing city in the country.
Well, and all this absolutely chimes with me personally, actually, because my mum's family, that is to say her parents and uncles and aunties, moved pretty much lock, stock and barrel from Reading to Birmingham when she was either a tiny little girl, and I'm 57 and she had me when she was over 40, so you know it's more or less this time that we're talking about. For a better life in Birmingham, because that's what you did. You headed north.
Yes.
To where the industrial opportunities were, the whole of the Birmingham, the Black Country. So didn't even have to go as far as the north. You could stop at the Midlands, and you got a chance there. And that's why I'm a Brummie. You see, not really a Berkshireite, although I'm trying to become one again.
Fascinating
insight into British history. That no question about it. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just pause for a moment then, and come back and talk some more if we may. This is Claire Flynn from Kintbury. Her latest book is The Green Ribbons. We'll talk more after the bangles.